Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, or whenever you happen to be listening to this. Welcome to another special bonus episode of the Film Realist Podcast. On this special bonus episode, I'm going to be giving my thoughts on Invincible Season 4, spoiler-free. I have seen 6 of the 8 episodes, so I'm going to give my thoughts. They are going to be general. They're not going to include any spoilers. But by the time you listen to this, the first 3 episodes will be available. So I am going to touch more specifically on them and then the season as a whole. Time codes will be listed in the description should you want to hop around. Let's get into Invincible Season 4.
Someone spotted Furnace downtown. You got to go stop him before he sets something on fire.
I just got home.
Yeah, so did I.
So let someone else do it. Hey, what the hell?
Just a few months ago, you were begging me to let you fight this guy.
I've been out fighting guys all day.
Yeah, well, there's one more.
There's always one more.
The first 3 episodes really do set what the whole season is going to be as a whole, which is Mark is dealing with the aftermath of his fight with Conquest. He's got braces on his body, as well as Oliver being much older. Eve has now achieved a new level of power, given the fact that she resurrected herself. And Mark's position on being a hero is much more like a job, as opposed to that thing when he was so much younger he just wanted to do because of his dad being Omni-Man. He struggles so much in this season on being that hero, and each season has compounded the level of trauma and post-traumatic stress onto Mark, and we see throughout the entire season him dealing with this idea that in order to achieve the true safety that his family is going to require, whether that be a terrestrial threat or an extraterrestrial one from the Viltrumites, that he's going to have to kill people. And Mark's fear of becoming his dad is immediately put at the forefront. Each battle he goes through, we really see somebody dealing with who they are afraid to become. And while it's an interesting note that I'm glad is brought more forward in this season, I was critical of season 3 because each initial adventure sort of did feel like an annual as opposed to a season of television. 6 episodes in, for whatever reason, and I know obviously this is an adaptation of a comic book, but each episode does a really great job of specifically explaining where Mark is in that one episode, and each adventure adds to the mosaic of what these characters are going through emotionally. Mark and Eve's relationship has significantly changed. She's over all the time. I'm jumping ahead, of course, to spoilers for the 3 episodes. You've been warned that those 3 are available, but I'm not going to give you any spoilers for episodes 4, 5, and 6. But Eve being pregnant, her powers seemingly failing because she's pregnant. And I think that's a really interesting place to put that character. Somebody who can create anything from an atomic level is dealing with this idea that something else is growing inside them. What is that going to mean for Eve, who has had control quite literally at the microscopic level, making anything exist, and a child not being something that her or Mark were planning on? But each of the battles that Mark has in each of these 6 episodes are redefining who he is as a hero. And what's incredibly important for where Mark is in the earlier seasons, we were seeing somebody in that high school age and then in the beginning of post-secondary. But having given that up, truly becoming an adult in the world, the way that his relationship with Cecil has evolved, and seeing that there are consequences for everything that he's done, he feels the responsibility of what happened, not only with Chicago in the battle he had with his father, but what happened with Conquest. And more than anything, and what's especially compelling for me in this season, is we are ramping up to the Viltrumites. We see many of them in the trailers, so that's not a spoiler, but the looming threat of those characters, the idea that Rex and all of the Guardians are going to reassemble, or that Invincible and all the other coalition characters are going to work together because that is the only way that they are going to defeat the Viltrumites is really interesting, because they have been this looming threat throughout the entire show, this idea that they have to work together, and that dramatically changes things for Mark. His dad, while completely betraying him from every aspect of being a father or a partner when it comes to fighting as superheroes, but they have to rely on each other because of the threat that the Viltrumites are for the entire world. And getting to see characters throughout the series that are necessary for this fight, and it is forcing the characters to put their baggage aside in order to save the universe. Not only is Mark having to leave the planet, something that he's not necessarily been a fan of because it puts him in much more closer proximity to his own dad, but they are fighting for the universe's sake. The Viltrumites have been proposed as the worst possible things in the entire universe, and Nolan himself having to face the idea that in order to achieve these things, he's going to have to accept the responsibility for all of the things he did on Earth, going back all the way to season one, killing some of the Guardians, nearly murdering Mark, and ultimately fathering another child, puts him in circumstances that he's not necessarily wanted to be a part of. He's deliberately left them to their own devices, but has to have Mark and reluctantly Oliver be involved with fighting off the Viltrumites. We see, I believe his name is Thrag. They don't say characters' names a lot in this show. Obviously, Invincible is one of the ones that's joked quite a bit. Yes, it is Thrag, who is this looming threat as the leader of the Viltrumites. But the first three episodes show what is happening. We learn, which is incredibly interesting, why there are so few Viltrumites. And one key episode, it being episode two, focuses on the history of the Viltrumites, what led Nolan and other Viltrumites to going to different planets, finding out if they could sire other children, which is the reason Mark exists, and also the reason Oliver exists, because Nolan had to go find aliens that were capable of giving birth to Viltrumites so that way they could continue their species without having it be inbred, which was really fascinating to try to attempt to create any sympathy moving forward for this race of entirely terrible people. And I like the fact that while each season has had its own challenge for Mark and Invincible and Oliver, Eve, as well as the other Guardians, Rex is now Rex, of course, in this season. And they, each of those sort of major set pieces have been building blocks to this major conflict that is Invincible as well as the other crew facing off against the Viltrumites themselves. They're no longer this looming threat. We know this battle is going to be happening. And what I like about that is for seasons two and three, we of course had battles that were really important because of the what was essentially the aftermath of what happened to that, the casualties, and each of those traumatic events shaped people and has affected what Mark thinks he needs to do as a hero, whether that be somebody dying because of an act he was involved in or choosing not to kill somebody. And that's really the main focus of season four. But the Viltrumites, who have been in the background outside of showing up as one major conflict, and that was one of the elements that I was quite critical of season three, was Conquest just sort of shows up. But the Viltrumites are the focus in this season, whether that be focusing on the ones we're aware of, Mark, Oliver, and Nolan, but also getting to see more of their history and their culture and their community. They are much more intimidating because we are getting more time with them and not just one character's perspective. I think one element that might be wearing thin is while the dramatic violence at the time, I'm sure, was not overwhelming, but quite shocking when reading the comics. I've not read any of the comics. This is your first time listening to the Film Realist podcast. I've not read any of them. Scotty, I know that you have, but I'm just watching the show for the show that it is. And anytime there is a dramatic injury, I am getting to the point where the gratuity to it does not shock me. It only should feel necessary when essential to the plot. Just having graphic violence while being initially shocking within the context of the show has reached a point where it just sort of happens. I'm reminded of Scream 7 when all of the kills in there felt like they were checking off boxes, where of course it matters to the story because if somebody we care about or a villain that we want to see finished or killed is significantly injured, but other than just being there for the sake of it, I would really like moving forward for the insanity that is the violence at times to be only played for significance, because the more you do of it, the less impact it has. It has reached a numbing where there is insane violence happening on screen and it doesn't matter because things just sort of happen. That's disappointing. Other than the animations slowly improving over time, this is of course a North American animated show. I'm glad we're getting all 8 episodes back to back to back. Of course, when you're listening to this, the first 3 episodes are available. But I like that things that have been looming throughout the show have now been a main part of the story. We're not sidestepping them for different adventures. Each of the episodes that I have seen do build to the larger narrative, as opposed to just feeling like we need to tell this part of the story because it will be required eventually, as opposed to being important in the present now. That is also included with the reintroduction of the Sequids. That was a looming thing that was introduced obviously earlier on in the show, but that is in this season because it matters on showing where Mark is. Mark struggling with the morality of being invincible and the choices that he has to make or is choosing not to are important, and it is incredibly relevant to where he is psychologically, as opposed to just being, isn't this a weird adventure? It needs to happen. And of course, the conclusion of that episode puts characters in a completely different place that I'm sure we will be seeing them again later, but it moves people away so that way we can focus on the main characters. And that is, of course, Oliver, Mark, Nolan, Eve, and even Debbie and Paul are given a lot in this season, which I really like, because one of the best aspects of this show, period, is that Nolan's wife, Debbie, Mark, and Oliver's mom, Debbie, is just as important, and that character's own mental and physical healing has been just as important as Mark's, because she was betrayed just as much as Mark was. I would say even more so, because Nolan was her chosen partner, and getting to see the furthering of her relationship with Paul and the healthy nature in which Mark and Oliver react to that is incredibly compelling, and it just warmed my heart because we are getting an example of a blended family that is doing their best for each other, as opposed to having selfish opinions in how things are supposed to be happening. And of course, this is an overly adult, mature cartoon, so those conversations are probably more graphic than they would be in reality, but getting an opportunity to see a blended family like this is really great. Not only is this season an improvement for me over the previous one, you are getting characters to have conversations that have been long waited for. 6 episodes in, I think this is a significant improvement, as I just said that. The animation has improved. The use of different story elements are woven through much more successfully. That after the end of the 3rd season, I wasn't necessarily excited for more of this, but 6 episodes into season 4, I'm very excited to seeing what we get for the penultimate and the final episode of this season. But I am curious, knowing that we are getting a 5th season, the Viltrumites as the overarching villains of this series, I'm curious if there is going to be a successful pivot moving forward into the 5th season, or similar to the earlier seasons in this show, are we going to delay the ultimate threat of the Viltrumites? I really hope that that isn't the case, but those are my non-spoiler thoughts on Invincible Season 4. What did you think of the first 3 episodes of Season 4? Obviously, We can talk more about 4, 5, and 6 later on when they eventually air on Prime Video. But that's my thoughts on the season as a whole without any spoilers. Now I can tell you again what the question of the week is. So if you did miss it, this week's question of the week is, what is your favorite science fiction novel that deserves a film adaptation? To answer the question of the week, you can answer directly below on YouTube and Spotify. You can email the podcast, filmrealistpod@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please like and subscribe on YouTube or follow and give 5 stars on your preferred podcast platform. Next week's episode is going to be a review of Project Hail Mary. So if you're looking forward to that film, I have seen it and I can't wait to review it on the show. That episode will be out Monday at 12 a.m. So if you're looking forward to that, make sure to follow the podcast so you don't miss it. Thank you so much for listening to this special bonus episode. My name is Kyle Naranja, and I will see you next time.